Good morning. Carol was mentioning, do the kids need to be dismissed or do they already know all of that? I see one little gal walking back there now. So anyway, so good to be with you guys again. It was a little over a year, I think, the last time I was here. And so I'm glad that you've come back. If rumor went around that I was going to be speaking today. But anyway, it's a delight to be here. I have a question for you. How many of you have ever been afraid? Well, let me rephrase that. How many of you have never been afraid of anything in life? Let me see your hands. Wow. So everybody has been afraid through life somehow, some way, for some reason. Sometimes those fears are more insignificant, such as, well, had to take the car to the shop. I wonder how much that's going to cost. Usually it seems like it costs more than what I'm hoping. I've had those fears. They're more mild. Or are we going to get water in the basement again this spring? That can be kind of a fear. It's not anything that's overwhelming. So we've all had those kinds of fears. However, some are more significant. Will my loved one come through surgery okay? That's a pretty serious one. Will they make it or not? Or things have been rough at my place of employment, and some folks have had been laid off. Am I going to be among them? That can be a fear. My hunch is there's folks right here in this sanctuary that have had both those kinds of fears. So do you think people in our world are experiencing fear on a regular basis? Absolutely, all the time. I mean, this has been a crazy past year. 2020, when COVID-19 just spread all over the world. And at this point in time, there's still an issue, and there's different, I guess you call them mutations, where some of the viruses have changed. And I think Brazil has been hit harder now with a new wave. Literally millions of people, a couple of million people have died worldwide. Some of that directly from the virus. Some from complications if they had underlying health concerns regarding the virus. My hunch is several of us, if not many of us, have known people that have died because of this ramification. So there's a lot of fear with that. And of course, a lot of people in our country have lost jobs and continuing to live with the fear of all the financial ramifications that have come as a result of that. And that's not all. If you follow the news, there's fear that war could be breaking out between Ukraine and Russia. Have any of you read about some of that? Probably. How about with China and Taiwan? Well, how about in the Middle East? Israel and Iran? It's just all over. There's things for people to be worried about, to be afraid about, from political ramifications to health issues to financial issues, turmoil in the world. In those regards, there's cause for a lot of people, most people, to live in fear, unless they're little toddlers. But even they can experience some fear along the way. Fear of, am I going to be able to get that toy back for my younger brother or younger sister that they took? Am I going to get dessert when I wasn't eating the rest of the meal? So we all have it in varying degrees. So God has his perspective on this too. He's exhorted us in many places in the scriptures to not be afraid. Somewhere along the line I heard that 365 times in the scriptures God says, don't be afraid. Like one for every day of the year. Don't be afraid. Paul writes to Timothy They had scary things going on back then too. It's always been that way all through the history of mankind. But he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That's what God has given us. And yes, we can succumb to fear in the difficulties that come our way. God has clearly said, no, you don't have any reason to fear. I really do have everything well in hand. Hebrews 13:6, we read, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, I suppose man can kill us. Well, then they usher us right into the presence of God. We do not fear. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. He's with us. We don't have any reason to fear. So from God's point of view, we don't need to invest time and energy being afraid about anything. He really has something much more meaningful and important for us to do than to be afraid. This morning, I want to consider with you three important truths that will enable us to live out our calling, which is the title of my message, if you have a handout. Live out our calling. Did you know that? That each of us here, as a follower, a believer in Jesus Christ, we have been called. We do, and He wants us to live that out. So the first truth is our position in Christ. The second truth is our purpose in Christ. The third truth is the power we have in Christ. Logan read the passage of Scripture that I wanted to refer to this morning from John chapter 15. So we'll be making reference to that as well as a few other passages of Scripture. But before we go any further, let's just commit our time into the Lord's hands. Father, thank you so much for your awesome love. And a week ago, your kids, your children all over the planet were celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Celebrating that you, Lord Jesus, when you died for our sins, you did not stay in the grave, but you were resurrected on the third day. And you have given us life in the great confidence that we one day will be resurrected as well if you don't come before us, before then, for us through the rapture. So thank you. Thank you for adopting us into your family. And thank you for good purposes that you have for us. Father, I pray that you would speak to each of us here, me included, from your word. Encourage, challenge, whatever it is. You know the needs of every person here. So we commit the remainder of this service now into your hands. In Christ's name, amen. First, let's look at our position in Christ. Your first fill in the blank for those of you that want to follow along. Our position in Christ. What does that mean? Well, Jesus chose us. He chose you. If you have a living relationship with Christ, it's because He chose you. We see that right in the text. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Aren't you glad that God chose you this morning? Where were we before He actually did choose us? Well, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and verse 4, I want to read, as for you, now this is who we were before Christ chose us. As for you, you were dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us. God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God chose us. He worked in our hearts in such a way that when we heard the good news, we responded. But he was the one that made us alive in Christ. Aren't you glad? Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. I mean, this, we have so much to be thankful for. We should be jumping up and down. So many people are on the road to the lake of fire, but for God's grace and his love and his mercy for us, he chose us and he made us alive in Christ. That's our position in Christ. All because of his incredible, awesome love and goodness for us. Not only did God choose us, he gave us relational standing with him. What does that mean, relational standing? Well, first, we are children of God. According to his word, we find in John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. How do you like that? I mean, there may be people that we would admire because their dad is the president or royalty in England, or they're the son or daughter of somebody who owns a great big company, very wealthy. Bill Gates, what about his kids? You know, people that would see him, wow, I'm a friend of Bill Gates' son or daughter. All of those kinds of things. Well, you know what? We, in this humble environment, we could tell people, yeah, those are good things, but you know what? I'm a child of the Almighty Creator of the universe. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. I'm one of his kids. I'm one of his kids. The scriptures also say that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, but not only that, how do you like to be able to call Jesus Christ your brother? Thought about that? That's our position too. Well, where does it say that? Well, glad you asked. For some of you that maybe were wondering. Hebrews 2:11-12, let me read that. Both the one who makes holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters by implication. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. Children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. It gets better. Most of you live in the Beersford area, but this isn't really your home. Did you know that you're citizens of heaven and Jesus is preparing the place for you? Yeah, we're citizens of the United States. What about being called citizens of heaven? Talk about another glorious relational standing we would have with God. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. He's coming back for us. We have an incredible position in Christ. It gets better. If this isn't good enough, it gets better. Revelation 19:7. Let me read that. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting. Sounds like something pretty significant is about to be said. Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. What do you think of that? That you're the bride of Jesus Christ for all of eternity? I love Revelation 2, verse 17. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Did you know that? When you get to heaven, you'll have a special name. God and you will be the only ones that know that name. If that doesn't just ooze with relational intimacy that we will have with God forever, I don't know what does. Incredible. A glorious destiny for us is just around the corner. Not only do we have a glorious position in Christ, we also have purpose in Christ. More good news. Our purpose in Christ. Why are we here? A lot of people have that question. Why am I here? They're trying to find purpose in life. And people in the world are looking in all kinds of places, but they're not looking to Christ. But we as believers have incredible purpose. Just a few thoughts on that. He's communicated to us his purpose. Right from the text that we were looking at, we are commanded to love one another. You see that a lot in the scriptures. Let me just read verse 12 and 17 again from John 15. My command is this, love each other, and get this, as I have loved you. There's the standard. He says it again, this is my command, love each other. He says it again in John 13. Verses 34 and 35, we read, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we don't have love for one another, the world won't even know that we're his followers. That's how the world will know that we are his followers, his disciples, if we love one another. And I love that pie auction and the special doings on the 25th North Star, that whole endeavor, reaching out to the Beersford community to make sure kids that wouldn't have funds to go to camp would be able to go. That's an expression of love. And the school district and others in the community know that. That there's folks here at Brooklyn E-Free Church that care about each other and their community. So he's given us great purpose. He could have taken us home as soon as we trusted Christ as our Savior. But he's left us here with good reason. We are to bear lasting fruit. We are to bear lasting fruit, eternal fruit. Let's look at the text again, John 15. Let me read verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Then back down to verse 16. Again, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Actually, eternal fruit. So we have an incredible position in Christ. He's given us great purpose in life to bear fruit. Let me make reference to what I would call internal fruit as well as external fruit. Internal fruit. I love Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, and that comes as we're walking with the Lord, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we're walking with Christ, abiding with Him, He says, you will bear much fruit. And this is part of it. It's being conformed more and more to the likeness of Christ. That internal fruit of the world being able to see Jesus manifested through our lives, through these various characteristics that the world knows so little of. So it's so important for us to be abiding in Him, in His Word, walking with Him. But our Father also intends us to bear external fruit. I mentioned a few minutes ago about the fear that's gripping people on our planet Earth. So many things going on. Do you know that there are people right in the Beresford community that are being gripped with fear, uncertainties, health issues, financial considerations? So many people gripped with fear. And a lot of them would keep it to themselves, unless you have an opportunity to engage with them and ask them how they're doing. Sometimes people will share. And you know you'll have a tremendous opportunity to talk with them about the hope that you have in Christ. And that eternal life is your destiny. And that the very worst that could happen is you die. But that's okay. I don't have to fear that either. We have incredibly good news to share with people around us in our community that face fears of various sorts. Everything that you can see and touch right now, your cars, your homes, right here in this building, it's all temporary. It's not going to last forever. People that have companies, people that put aside money for a retirement fund, all of these kinds of things, anything that we can see and touch is very, very temporary. And yet people give their entire lives to focus on that which is temporary. Do you know there's only two things that we can invest our lives in that will last forever this side of heaven? That's our relationship with God. That'll go on forever. And we can invest our lives in the lives of other people. And they go on forever too. The question is, will they be forever with Christ? Our eternal brothers and sisters in Christ? Or will they spend eternity in the lake of fire? That's it. My hunch is we all know folks. Carol and I know folks. At this point in time, we don't have any reason to think that they're on a road different than the road to the lake of fire. Two things that we can invest our lives in. God, through His Word, or we can invest our lives with people. And the Scriptures are very clear that He's called us to participate in the Great Commission of going into the world in our sphere of influence, prayerfully making disciples, other followers of Jesus Christ. We are His ambassadors to earth. Some might think it's a pretty noble thing to be the ambassador of the United States to Russia, to Israel, to whatever countries in the world. Did you know we are ambassadors of Almighty God? We are ambassadors of heaven, all of us here. Being an ambassador of the United States, oh, that's just small stuff. We are an ambassador of the Almighty Creator of the universe to planet Earth. Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 20 of chapter 5, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. God is appealing to the world to be reconciled with Christ, and He's making His appeal through the likes of us. When we share the good news, it's not our good news per se. It's the good news of God Almighty. And yes, obviously good news for us personally, but incredibly good news. So how are we doing? Are we building relationships with folks around us that are non-believers? Are we investing the time and energy to do things like getting together with them for a cup of coffee? Engaging with them regarding burdens that they might share? You know, there's plenty of people on planet Earth, they would have the perspective, don't tell me about your troubles, I got enough of my own. But for us as believers, we can enter into their pain and their struggles, and that would be like a breath of fresh air for many of them, because nobody else bothers to listen, or often that's the case. Do we look for those opportunities? Simple things like taking a plate of cookies over to your neighbor and just say, hey, just wanted to say hi, made some homemade cookies, wanted to share some with you. All kinds of opportunities. Here's an important one. Are you prepared to give an answer to those who ask you about your life and your calm attitude? Hopefully you have a calm attitude when you've been given the Spirit of God and it's not a spirit of fear. But with everything going on, some people will notice that you have a calm attitude and they will wonder about that when everything else in the world seems to be going south. Everything's falling apart. How is it that you're not pulling your hair out? Now, some people that would look at me and say, well, Jim has already pulled out some of his hair. But we don't have to live in fear. We are representatives of the Almighty God of the universe. We're His bride. We're His kids. Jesus is our brother. We're His ambassadors. He's given us purpose. 1 Peter 3:15, just to go along with what I just said. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always, doesn't say sometimes, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. To be prepared to give a reason. That is not Pastor John's job. Yes, it is, but it's not his job exclusively. And the rest of you don't have to do that because John is doing that. No, I believe the scriptures teach that the leaders and pastors of the church, part of their calling is to equip the saints to do the ministry. All of us have a responsibility to always be prepared to give a reason to anybody that would ask us. We should have our testimony and an understanding of a brief presentation of the gospel in our back pocket at all times to give somebody a reason for the hope that we have in Christ. Third, let's consider the last truth, our power in Christ. Did you know that Christ has given us His power to accomplish His purposes? It's accomplished through His lordship. When we keep Him Lord in our life, through Christ's lordship in our lives. Again, from 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. He's our Savior. But if we've really been gripped in the core of our being, the magnitude of what that means, if we're not making Him Lord and living a life that way, then we have not been gripped with the incredible magnitude of God's love for us. Again, from John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's Christ doing His work through us. How are we doing with lordship, having Christ being Lord of our lives. Are we investing daily time with Him and His Word? Or is it just something that, well, if we get around to it, we'll do that? Are we applying the truths we find in the Scriptures to our lives? Sorry, I've put all of you on a little bit of a hook here, because now you are hearing some of the truth of God's Word, and I would like to think all of you are very familiar with this, but now you are responsible to God for what you have heard so far this morning. There won't be any excuse. This is not optional stuff for any of us. Are we demonstrating our love to God through our obedience to Him? Lordship. Also, our power in Christ is realized through prayer, a very, very significant part of how God wants us to live. His power is manifest through prayer. Again, from John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Is this the formula to get a new Corvette? Well, along the way, I've had those kind of prayers. Something that's really more for my personal gratification. Creature comforts. Things like that. No, I don't think that's the heart of what Jesus is saying here. Let me tie in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. According to His will. Well, what is His will? Well, the Scriptures give an answer to that too. It's amazing how much truth we find in God's Word regarding living life. It's completely relevant to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter testifies, again, writing these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's His desire. That's His will. He doesn't want anybody to end up in the lake of fire other than Satan and all of the fallen angels, demons as we would refer to them. But that's not where He wants people. But He's given us all free will, and He respects our choices. And when people reject Christ, He will respect their choice when they stand before the great white throne judgment someday. Depart from me. You didn't want anything to do with me on planet Earth? I'll respect your choice for that. But that's not His desire. It was not His will. So there are people that you know that have not yet placed their trust in Christ. Are you praying for their salvation? Are you fervently praying for their salvation? I've heard too often where somebody, a mom or grandma, dad or grandpa, praying for a loved one, a family member, and they prayed and prayed and prayed for many, many years, and sometimes they died, and their prayer wasn't answered. But eventually the person that they were praying for did come to know Christ. Those are awesome testimonies. Don't give up in praying for people. There are folks that Carol and I have been praying for many years now. As far as we know, they've not placed their trust in Christ. But we know we're praying according to His will. And God, who made us alive in Christ when we were dead, He can make anyone alive in Christ that were dead in their sins and transgressions. If you want to fervently pray for family members and you believe that God is in it, that he does not want them to perish, do you ask your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, here's a list of my family members or close friends that I'm praying for. Would you pray with me for them? And if you've got a list, give it to me and I'll pray with you for them as well. We can be doing that. There's power in prayer. It's not so much the prayer that's a magical. It's that we have an awesome God and nothing is impossible with him. And he gives us that great privilege and opportunity and responsibility to talk to him about the lives of people. Yes, we pray for healings. We pray for grace, for surgeries. We pray for many things. Boy, I hope at the top of your list that you're praying for people to come into a living relationship with Jesus that don't yet know him. And it's good to think about from time to time what the lake of fire would be forever and ever and ever. And as you know, folks that don't know Christ, that is their very certain destiny. Does that concern you? I hope it does. If there isn't very much concern for that, then plead for God, plead with God that he would give you that incredible concern, because God was very concerned. He sent Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross and suffered an incredible death and separation from the Father when he became sin for us, because he was deeply concerned about people. He died for people. Can we pray for them? Can we be prepared to give them an answer for the hope that we have? If we're not doing that on a regular basis, then pray that God would just grip our hearts with the magnitude of his love for us, and that he would give us eyes and hearts that are very close to what his are for the lives of people around us. It's always all about relationship, our relationship with God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with the triune God forever and ever and ever. And the reason we're here on earth is for the sake of the horizontal relationships in our lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to keep loving them, but also looking at, are there non-believers that I can have an impact in their lives? I like that expression. It's probably more important to talk to God about men than it is to talk to men about God. Obviously, it's both. They both need to be something that we are exercising all the time. Ephesians 2:10, regarding his purpose in our lives. For we are God's workmanship. He's making us who we are. He's conforming us to the likeness of Christ. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. There isn't any follower of Christ that would say, well, I don't know what God has for me. Does he have anything? Absolutely. He's given us many opportunities to serve him, good works to do, not for paying him back, not for salvation, but to help advance his kingdom work. So already mapped them out for us. And I would like to think that all of us here have been accomplishing, doing those good works that he's prepared for us. In summary, let me share with you Paul's instructions to the church of Ephesus 2,000 years ago from Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We all have a calling. And God wants us to live that out. Praise God for the position that we have in Christ. Praise God for the purpose that he's given us in Christ. And praise God for the power that he gives us in our relationship with Christ to do those good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do before he calls us home to be with him forever and ever. And may God continue to give us all abundant grace in living out the calling that he's given us. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for adopting us into your family, the position that we have in you. When you've given us purpose, you've given us power. You've given us all a part to play in advancing your kingdom work. None of us are deserving of it. We acknowledge our absolute dependency upon you for doing anything good. You've clearly said in your word, Lord Jesus, that apart from you, we can't do anything good. Oh, we can sin, but we can't do anything good. Grip our hearts more and more and more with great love for you, the greatest, the first and greatest commandment, to love you with all of our being. And as we're gripped with that, grip us with what it means to love our fellow man. So thank you. Thank you for your word. I pray for each brother and sister here that you would give them grace to keep walking with you. Keep their hearts encouraged. Challenge them with where they need to be challenged from this day forward. And thank you again. We ask all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.